Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, we know what day it is.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A.
Most days we know what day it is.
Featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques,
for dispatches, Chicago,
memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now, here's your
not
host,
right now, it
Todd,
isn't.
Freakishly tall, Friel.
The mail is here.
This is Wretched Radio. Who do we have a stack of mailbag questions? Which is why we are dedicating the entire week to VOO questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Send to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337. That's the text machine. Perhaps you're wondering, well, why do you have an extraordinary amount of mailbag questions? Well, somebody took a little sabbatical, and so we missed a mailbag day. Not going to name names, because we don't do that in evangelical Christianity, actually to our own detriment. On the one hand, you've got people who name names too often. On the other hand, you've got people who will never name names. Well, I'm not going to name Jimmy's name. Instead, we'll just dive into the mailbag, 877-282-2337.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, hey, I got you, boo.
All right, this is a text from David. Todd, what should I do if my wife exhibits a pattern of not being able to keep a secret? Should I stop telling her these things that need to be kept in confidence?
Well, perhaps.
I'm taking the view that because the two are joined as one in marriage, they should always tell each other everything and never keep a secret from one another. So I'm very conflicted here.
Well, keeping a secret, I think we need to define that term. Obviously, you're going to need to continue to convey information to relay the facts she needs to know. And as far as secrets go, unless you're doing something that you don't want her to know about, there shouldn't be any secrets in marriage. But that doesn't mean if you're dealing with somebody who perhaps currently struggles to practice discretion that you should share absolutely everything. You'll need to use wisdom in this case, but that fails to get to the heart of the matter, which is the heart in this matter. Why? Why doesn't she have the ability to keep certain things private and confidential? You'll want to do some heart surgery with your wife. Find out why. Does she need to tell stuff? Is it because it gives her a buzz or a feeling that she really enjoys? That can happen, you know. That's why gossip is so popular. It kind of makes me feel like, see, I'm the Gnostic in the know guy. And I'm going to share with you something you don't, which indicates I'm either cooler or smarter than you are. Yeah, that can be behind gossip. And it can also be behind just sharing stuff you don't need to disclose to people. So you've got to discover what is motivating it. Is it pride? Is there something going on in your relationship where she feels the need to share things with one another? Could it also be she's just not quite aware of what she's doing? Maybe it could be that her filter just needs to be adjusted a little bit. Maybe she doesn't realize, well, you told me that, but you didn't say not to tell anybody, so I thought I could tell somebody. Then you'll simply need to work with her on that. And I would do it in a way where you set it up, because it'll become agitating if you're constantly saying, sweetheart, I just wanted to let you know I broke the lawnmower. Now, don't tell anybody this, because I don't want people to know I broke the lawnmower. That'll get really agitating if you say it all the time, which is why you'll need to have a conversation about this up front. Honey, let's have a chat about something that I would like to bring to your attention. You sometimes share things that I wish you wouldn't. Could we spend some time exploring that? Maybe I need an adjustment, dear. Maybe my expectations are off. But maybe we need to kind of get on the same page, and I can get, let me just give you three examples of that. And by the way, if you don't have three examples of something, you probably don't have a warrant for a sit-down meeting. And that goes with any subject. One-off stuff, that ain't worth a powwow. Can we still call something a powwow these days? Or was I'm probably racist or something. It doesn't require discussing everything that your spouse does that perhaps agitates you if it's a one-off thing. If it's a pattern, then you need to get in there and have that chat. Is it something that she's doing ignorantly? Is it something she's doing willfully? Is it something she's doing sinfully? Sit down, work through it, and then come up with a solution so that you don't have to constantly be saying, but don't tell anybody, dear. Eight's up. You got anything to add to that, Jimmy?
No, I was just going to reiterate your point about having three examples.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if you don't have three examples, you're also not Southern Baptist.
Well, you don't have to alliterate them, do
no,
you?
No, you don't have to alliterate them. You just need to have 3 points.
That way. 877-282-2. This Sunday's sermon has 4 points.
Oh. Just, you know,
yeah. So I'm like,
overachiever.
I would be like Southern Baptist Plus.
That's right.
Wouldn't I? 877-282-2337.
This is from Betty. Todd, will we remember all of our sins when we're in heaven?
Well, all of them, I don't know that we'll be able to remember each and every one. Quite honestly, we'd need to have a pretty substantial hard drive to remember all of them, wouldn't we? We just sin constantly, don't we? We aren't even aware of how much we do some sin. It just permeates our flesh, doesn't it? But that doesn't mean that we won't remember some of them. How our memories will work in heaven, I don't know. If we don't remember it now, will we remember it in heaven? The answer is, I don't know. Will we have a perfect memory? I don't know. I think we need to remember that having a glorified body doesn't mean that you are going to be a Superman or a Wonder Woman. You're not going to have all knowledge, I don't think. You can't, because that belongs to God. But will you have all knowledge of your past experiences, all of your memories? I don't know. I don't know that we're going to be able to leap a tall building in a single bound. I think that our bodies are good. I think that we're going to have the ability to fly in the sky. We're going to have this body, and I think we're going to be operating under the current, this planet, while under the curse, I don't think it's going to be radically different in its operation when it is purged and then remade again. There'll still be gravity. There's things are going to be heavier than other things. There will be speed, light will travel at the same speed. I don't think it's going to be this mystical oracle kind of place. It's going to be like this earth, and we're going to be operating underneath its confines. It'll just be that our bodies are built to last for forever. That's what our bodies will be like. I don't think that we're going to be like super intelligence. Here's one that I've always considered, because while I love the idea of getting a new singing voice, I don't know that my singing voice will be perfect in heaven. You say, well, isn't everything perfect in heaven? Well, perfect meaning sinless in heaven. But that doesn't mean that I will have the same attributes that you will have any more than we share them on this planet. You sing, I can say this, I don't know who might hear this, but whoever you are, you can sing better than I can. I know that for a fact, because bow and wow. Now, does that mean I'm less of a human than you? No. Does that mean that I'm sinning? No. Will my voice potentially be improved because it will no longer be under the curse? Perhaps, but I don't know definitively that it will be. And that goes for your memory. I do know that you will remember stuff. All stuff, don't know. But perhaps what is motivating this question is, how can I remember my sins in heaven and still be happy? Well, you can actually remember your sins here and still be happy because you have the right perspective on them. And actually, we should have that perspective here that we will have there. You see, if we don't remember our sins in heaven, we won't be able to fully appreciate what the Lamb suffered on our behalf. Wouldn't it be strange? We don't remember any of our sinfulness. And so now we're gathered around the throne. What are we going to sing about? Thank you for things that you... Why did he die on a cross? Well, apparently there was something, but we don't remember what it is. You're going to remember your sins. They're just not going to torture you ever again. They're not going to make you feel bad because you committed sins. You will remember your sins rightly, probably for the first time the way that we're supposed to. No, they were so awful, the things that I have done, and yet what an amazing Savior. They are gone, gone, gone. And he doesn't toss them up in my face ever. As I remember my sinfulness in heaven, I'm going to simultaneously be remembering how great Jesus Christ is because he died for me while I was yet a sinner. That is why I am certain we're going to be remembering our sins in heaven, but they just aren't going to make you weepy. They're going to make you weep with tears of joy because I think you'll even have a better understanding of your sinfulness in heaven. Not so that you can wallow in it or feel guilty because you're not. It's so that you can remember and appreciate the sacrifice of your Savior more and sing Amazing Grace better than you ever done before. And maybe I'll be able to harmonize with you. Maybe. This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus, with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You didn't believe me when I told you I can't sing.
The worship album you've been waiting for is almost here.
Let it rain on down, let it rain on me.
Join Todd Friel for a worship experience like no other.
I wake up feeling so sad. Things are happening that are bad. It's enough to make me mad.
But you can make me glad, 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 glad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm so glad because you make me glad.
Get pumped up with Todd Friel.
I want to feel your heartbeat. I want to feel your heartbeat. I want to feel it, feel it. I want the beat. Feel it, the beat. Feeling the beat.
Stop.
Beat. Feel the beat.
Get your copy the day after the rapture.
This is Wretched Radio. Oh, you of little faith, would you please send stuff? Why? Because we're spending time in the mailbag all week here at Wretched Radio. 877-282-2337 for the text machine.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I love Wretched. And I also love Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. I started listening to Thrive a while ago and had to stop because I found myself thinking more of my husband and what he was doing wrong and how he could be better instead of focusing on how I myself could change.
That's kind of ironic because Brad Bigney and Thrive, it's all about don't focus on your spouse. Because you can't fix your spouse.
That's right. That's right. She says, I want to listen again, but how do I not fall into this trap?
This maybe is going to sound simplistic, but anytime you find yourself doing it, catch yourself and stop. And remember why. I think that's really key. We struggle to fix ourselves, let alone anybody else. And so we want to concentrate on ourselves. I think another thing that helps when it comes to seeing your spouse and what we'll just call deficiencies is defining what those deficiencies are. There's really two categories, and then there's kind of a subcategory, but the two categories of behavior, when my spouse does something and it's like, I'm not a fan of that, it's either a sin or it's a preference issue. Now, underneath the preference issue, I also want to remember that there's kind of a subcategory, and that is family of origin issues, that they do those things simply because that's the way their family did them. It just helps me to understand why she has that preference. But if I can remember the difference between preference and sin, a lot of your wanting to change your spouse is going to go away because it's mere preference. She likes to go to Andy's Custard. You like to go to Dairy Queen. Well, first of all, she's right. You're wrong. Second of all, it's a preference issue. You don't have to change your spouse's ice cream preferences. You don't have to make them like what you like because it's a preference. So who wins? And the answer is your spouse does. Why? Because I defer. When both spouses are constantly deferring, there is happiness in a home. But when it is a sin issue, now it's a different thing. Now I need to remember that we're dealing with a category that is very important. And it's not about me being upset that my spouse won't change. It's me being concerned because my spouse is potentially caught in a trap, man, and she can't get out. That's Galatians 6:1. When your spouse sins, especially if it's ongoing sin, look out. They are caught in a bear trap. How would you get them out? Why can't you get out of that trap? What's the matter with you? Why'd you get caught in that trap in the first place? What a bad husband you are. I never get caught in that trap. Wish you'd stop getting caught in that trap. I'm going to have a suspicious mind any second here. You wouldn't do that. Instead, what would you do? Rescue them. How would you do it? In a spirit of gentleness. So my encouragement to you, if you find yourself focusing too much on your spouse's behavior, let those two categories just eliminate a whole big chunk of them. And then when you discover that your spouse is sinning, now you've got a spiritual issue and you need to actually act pastorally, not crabbily, not angrily, not bitterly, not with retribution or and justification for your anger. No, yikes, my spouse is in trouble. And maybe underlying all of this that might be helpful for all of us, what are we doing in marriage? What is the point of this? What is our goal in this? If we are finding ourselves being judgmental of our spouse, chances are we're the one that needs the adjustment, because our expectation of marriage is that our spouse is going to make us perpetually happy. Have you not learned that ain't going to happen yet? That's not the purpose of marriage in the first place. The purpose of marriage isn't happiness. It's fill in the blank. Holiness. We're in this together. We're in a one flesh union. We are marching to Celestial City. We want to help the other one. If your spouse falls down, you want to pick them up. You don't want to trash them and kick them while they're down. You want to help them get up and run the race so that they can help you when you fall down, go boom. That's what marriage is about. And if we remember those biblical principles, and one more, if you don't mind me adding, remember who the biggest sinner in the house is. If I asked you right now, how many spouses, we're not Mormons here. How many sins has your spouse committed today? Would you know the answer? No. Well, but you might know the sins that your spouse committed against you that you witnessed, but you don't know how many. So let's just say it was seven. You can say, I know that my spouse sinned seven times today. All right, let me ask you another question. How many times did you sin today? Seven times 70. You know all the sins you committed. Way more. You know way more about your sinfulness than you know of your spouse's. And that is why when you ask and answer the question, who's the biggest sinner in the house? Your answer should be me. I'm the biggest sinner. How dare I judge? How dare I condescend? How dare I cop an attitude? I'm the biggest sinner in the house. You remember those biblical principles. They will serve you well. And by the way, those principles and many more can be found in a resource that we have at fortisplus.org. It's called Drive-By Marriage. Oh, it's a beauty. It will help you with this so much. And the good news is it's free. So is the study guide. There's no strings attached. All of our stuff here is free. Just go to fortisplus.org, look for Drive-By Marriage, and do the study guide and do it together. I'm telling you, your marriage will change. Jimmy, by the way, Did you get that email that I sent out? We received a lovely email about drive-by parenting.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe that was Ricky.
Ricky.
Who sent that? Do you still have that by any chance? And would normally wouldn't share stuff like this, but I will, just because of the context of the current conversation, and maybe to serve as an inspiration for you to go get Drive-By Marriage and Drive-By Parenting and work through them together as spouses. They truly are game changers, and they're free. So you ain't got nothing to lose. The study guide is there. You can go through it together. And your relationship will improve. You apply those biblical teachings, your marriage will improve. And even if it doesn't turn out to be like Prince Charming and Princess Buttercup forever after, you'll be happier because you'll have a better understanding of marriage and parenting. And your relationship with the Lord will actually grow. Jimmy, did you find it?
I did.
All right. It's kind of long.
It is wrong.
So maybe just kind of the highlights about what it says about drive-by parenting.
Okay. So Ricky says, I wish I could share this with you in person. Currently going through the study of drive-by parenting. The other day, my son had said some mean things that brought tears to my heart. They were directed toward me, and I'm currently going through a divorce, so that's been hard enough. Yesterday, I started lecture 15 in drive-by parenting, and the first thing I hear you say is, how many times have you failed as a father, and that Jesus covered every failure with his blood, and that if you If it were not for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you would want to give up. And I began weeping at this point.
Yeah. Now, what? Now, if you would, what were the positive things that he said about this? This, because his relationship with his son is improved because of what he's been learning. And in the relationship is being restored. You got that?
Yeah, he says, I can't tell you how God has used this to change my heart and my life. I'm doing things as a dad I never dreamed of or thought possible. Before this study, I was clueless on how to be a good dad and how to do things correctly. Now I'm becoming the dad I always wanted to be.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Go get him, dude. Yeah. Well played. It's never too late, by the way. If you've even got kids that have strayed away, this resource might be helpful for you. And so would Drive By Marriage. Because it will just put things into a biblical context. It'll help you see things rightly. It will give you different goals, and it will indeed improve your marriage and your familial relationships. And did I mention it's free? FortisPlus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Iran is rebuilding, and the satellite photos aren't subtle about it. Israeli and Western officials say new imagery shows Iranian crews digging out missile bases buried inside mountains and patching up the ports and weapons plants we hit this spring. Those strikes, however, mostly caved in the entrances, and the weapons inside came through just fine. Iran doesn't have to rebuild anything. It only has to dig it out, which explains why the president is playing a longer game with Iran's neighbors. Energy Secretary Chris Wright and the Saudi energy minister have signed a 30-year civilian nuclear agreement that lets American companies build reactors in the kingdom with American inspectors on site. And the technology seems to be staying in American hands. Then the president named his price. The deal only gets approved if Saudi Arabia joins Abraham Accords. If the Saudis sign, that's the biggest name yet on the deal that reshaped the region in his first term. And religion is also at the center of a Texas Senate race where the Democrat running describes his faith as biblical Christianity. But so much past audio and video say otherwise. I'm talking about James Tallarico, and a 2024 podcast has him crediting Islamic mystics as much as Christian writers in his faith. This is the same candidate who says God is non-binary and called the Ten Commandments in classrooms deeply unchristian, and also has described himself as a Christian who hates Christianity. He recently also told college graduates to find whatever spiritual practice works for them and suggested gardening or bird watching. Whatever that is, it's not biblical Christianity. And this guy, well, it's probably easy to say he's not a Christian either. And his party, however, has bigger problems than theology. The New York Times reports the Democratic National Committee is $2 million in debt and has asked vendors to hold off on sending bills until after the midterms. President Trump is sitting on $400 million, and the Republican Committee has another $130 million. Last year, Democrats borrowed $15 million against their own headquarters. Even representatives are going on TV and calling the party flat broke. And the money trouble isn't limited to the party. A plumbing contractor outside Chicago says the Obama Presidential Center still owes him nearly $4 million. He laid off 25 workers and shut his doors to avoid bankruptcy. He told Fox News he feels like an aluminum can that met a steamroller. And he's not alone. Other subcontractors, minority-owned firms among them, are owed millions more on a project sold as a way to lift those very businesses up. The Obama Foundation says it has no contracts with them, so it isn't their problem. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why, with or without Delilah? This is Wretched Radio. I know I shouldn't ask this question, but I'm going to. Jimmy, can you remember the movie And I think the cover, like the movie poster or on the DVD, no, DVD, the VHS.
I probably won't remember it.
Oh, boy. It was like a spaceship hovering down. I can see the movie poster. Not aliens or something like that, where there's a big, it's coming down to the earth. And there's people looking up. There are people like, oh, boy. What's this all about? Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
I do not.
See, I feel like I'm in it right now. Have you seen this new light they installed in here?
That's a big, huge thing.
I am going to get just sucked up into this light here. I feel like there's a big UFO that's hovering down. Not that there are. Actually, there are UFOs. There are plenty of unidentified things in the sky, but there aren't any spaceships in my estimation. This thing, I just feel like I'm going to get consumed by this bad boy. But I guess the more important question is, how do I look? Does the light do me well?
It's
all
perfect.
Right, just let's move on. 877-282-2337. That is the number you need to know if you would like to send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, because we're mailbagging all week. We're kind of catching up because somebody missed a lot of work recently.
Actually,
and I'm not going to bring it up and throw it in his face.
I didn't miss a lot of work. I just missed a lot of work in here.
Okay, so we missed you.
Thank you. I missed you too.
Yeah, sure. Let's not get syrupy. 877-282-2337.
Hey, this is a text.
Really wasn't the same without you, Jimmy.
Was it not?
No, it really isn't.
Yeah,
it's not. And doing the program without you is it ain't a barrel of laughs either. It's good to have you.
Well, I thank you. It's good to be here. Hey, look, Derek texted in. Todd, where do lizards go after their tails fall off?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't set that up right. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Where do lizards go after their tails fall off?
I don't know, Jimmy.
The retail store. You get it? The retail.
You have to tell that joke because it doesn't work in writing, you know.
Oh, it does. You told people to text in and wish me well and encourage me during my recovery from my back surgery and neck surgery, and they did in droves, man. I mean, we had a lot of listeners text, and occasionally they're still texting to this day, but the dad jokes I got were, I can write a book of dad jokes with the amount that we got.
Oh, that would be terrific.
I just
want to be a Barnabas encourager.
I wish we
that would be great, Jimmy.
I wish we still had the wretched store.
we can put your book up for free.
Okay.
If you'd like. By the way, whatever happened to that book you were writing?
I'm still working on
what it. What happened to it?
It's still there. I'm just trying. You know, you gave me some good ideas as far as you know, what's the purpose? Why would people want to buy it? Type of ideas. We had that conversation and we came away with organizing it into categories and like 30-day devotional type things.
Yeah.
And organizing it has proven to be true because I didn't write it in any kind of order. Or it's proven to be a bit of a hassle trying to get all of what I've written into like.
But Jimmy, I think it's some helpful stuff.
Yeah.
It's real folksy. It just drips cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drip cornbread? Do you know what it actually gets up my nose? Is going to a barbecue restaurant and they either don't serve cornbread. That should just be a crime. This is, see, if the Biden administration were back in, it might be a crime because they'd probably like to do stuff like that. But then if they do have cornbread, they don't have honey. Oh, what's the point?
Cornbread
needs honey.
See, that is an age old, especially not even the honey, but that adds to the conversation. It's an age old debate in Southern culture. Do you put sugar in cornbread? Is it supposed to be sweet?
You know what? Either one is fine by me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cornbread is. But you know what really makes cornbread cornbready? There's two things in my estimation. Corn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, like chunks of corn, where it's like not mushy. They got a little pop to them, like a crisp grape. And then the top, the top of the cornbread, like a muffin top.
Mm-hmm.
That's if it gets all moist, it gets ugh. But well, when it's just hot out of the oven and it's got a little crunch to it for the texture. I didn't do cornbread until I moved down south. But if you serve them up without honey, we could have ourselves another civil war. That's what I'm saying. So your cornbread book was basically about some anecdotes of life, of doing Christianity.
Right. So basically it's teaching theology through the lens of just a real Southern guy and his family. And it just shows you that we live theology every day, oh, whether
you
we realize
believe it.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything is theological.
And I think that's the big problem. And that's what drove me to put this together, is because most people think theology is just for seminary students or professors, and that's not true.
Well, there is a trick with theology, and coincidentally, this is what my book, which will be pre-sailed on September 1st, what my book is about. It's understanding how theology does inform everything. Mm. Because if everything we do is theological, we shouldn't have to ask the question, why does my Christian life seem detached from reality? Because in reality, it is not. We're simply not aware of it. We live in a closed system. The air you breathe, God. Now, I don't mean mystically. I'm just saying everything about everything is about the one who made and sustains everything and who is organizing and writing everything. You're in that cosmic drama, whether you want to be in it or not. You're in it. The only question is, will I play my part well? In order to play your part well, do you know what you need? You need the script, and you need to understand what the play is about. You need to understand the premise of it and the point, and you need to understand who the star of the show is. Without those things, life can never be what it could be. I'd liken it unto a play if you want to. You're standing on the wings. And somebody shoves you out onto the stage. There's a huge audience there. You're on, huh? To be or not to be? Is that what we're doing here? What are we doing? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that's, if you will, an illustration of life. You're on God's stage, in God's theater. God's the audience. He's the director. He's the writer. You got to know what his intentions are. And when you do, all of a sudden, the play makes sense and you will be able to perform your part with gusto. That's what my book is about, Jimmy. Go serve your king.
It's going to be good.
We'll see.
I'm excited for it.
We'll see about that.
I haven't gotten an advanced copy yet or anything.
I could. You know what? The only thing I've got is a printed deal. Not printed. On the computer machine.
The PDF.
That's the one right there.
Right.
I got that for you.
Okay.
Can you read that on that type of screen?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't do that. 877-282-2337 if you'd like to enter the cornbread debate.
Well, you haven't had cornbread until you've had crackling cornbread.
You're right.
You've never had crackling cornbread?
I can't wait to hear about it. What?
You don't know what cracklings are? Cracklings are like pork rinds.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Ask
a Southerner about crackling cornbread. Ask Tom Hammond the next time you talk to him.
That's like putting peas in popcorn.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, it is. No, popcorn is pure all by itself. Okay, it needs butter and salt, but you don't need all of that stuff. Cornbread, not cracklin', then just call it cracklin' bread. That's what you want to do. You do you with your cracklin' bread. But I'm doing cornbread, pure.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I recently broke free of a porn addiction I had for 9 years, starting when I was 14, through realizing what the gospel is, who my identity is, what true repentance is. I'm reading, praying, and meditating every day to renew my mind. But now that the porn is gone, I feel kind of lost. Mm. What do I focus on fighting now? It's also easy to feel depressed, and I'm not sure why. Shouldn't I be joyful now?
Yes. What should you be fighting? The Christian life is an ongoing battle against sin. But I want to state this carefully, because I don't want it to sound like I'm minimizing the war against temptation and sin. But this, what will bring you joy is not so much victory over sin. That'll bring you some joy. The only thing that really is the source of joy is Jesus Christ himself. And so if you're not experiencing joy from overcoming sin, perhaps it's because you're failing to remember the one who gave you the power to overcome the sin, the one who is the motivation for overcoming the sin. Because without that, you might be happy that you don't do that sin anymore, but you won't have joy. Your victory is in Jesus Christ. Let him be the centerpiece. And then as you go about the business of discovering sins, or if people who love you bring them to your attention, you can go to war against those things. But even then, it shouldn't displace the centerpiece of your life, which is focusing on Jesus Christ. Then deal with your sins. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor, he's an author, he's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated, and he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. A lot of us got handed a choice we never agreed to. Faith on one side, reason on the other. So when talk turns to fossils or the age of the universe, you kind of feel that knot. You know, you believe God's word, you just can't explain why. But that choice was a setup. The same God who gave us the Bible gave us the universe to study, and truth doesn't argue with itself. The trouble was the assumptions, the ones smuggled in next to the evidence and taught as fact. It's why two people can look at the same fossil and walk away telling two different stories. But you sort the assumptions out and the science sits comfortably beside Scripture. That's exactly what In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle is for. He's a PhD astrophysicist who takes the hardest questions in science and makes them clear and biblical. New episodes of In the Beginning heard every Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence. Or on the Fortis Plus app at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I know what cracklins really are. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me that cracklins was just shorthand for a Neil Diamond hit from 1960-something that you listened to while eating cornbread muffins? with butter and honey. No, maybe I'm less of a purist than I thought. You add cracklins, whatever those are. I need butter and honey. And if you want to pop them in the microwave on reheat, that ain't a bad idea either. What exactly are cracklins?
So cracklins are, you know, I told you they were just like pork rinds. Pork rinds are pork skins that have been fried. Well, cracklins are the pork skins and a little fat and a little meat. I don't eat it now because my wife wouldn't make it.
Because she has taste.
But I'm telling you, when I was a kid and my grandmother made crackling cornbread, oh, you couldn't tell me anything.
Oh, it's just plain. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Would you like to come to our place Saturday morning? We're making some snapplin' blueberry muffins.
What's that?
It's steak. It's cow skin with a little bit of meat attached, fried, and you put it in the blueberry muffin. Snapplin' muffins.
That's weird.
Exactly. 877-282-2337.
This is from Brent. Todd, as Christians, we are rightfully against euthanasia, or maid, as the pagans like to call it, but I was wondering what our stance should be on euthanizing animals, say a sick cat or dog. Obviously, animals are not image bearers, but is it contradictory to be against abortion and euthanasia for humans, but be okay with it for animals?
Yeah, I think it is, because we're just a different class. We're imago Dei. They're not. We are here to tend them and to take care of them and to make decisions for them. And when an animal doesn't have the ability to understand, care for itself, we do that for them. Now, I think the imago Dei is the biggest distinction, but I do believe that there is another one, and you might not buy this one, because I remember with our last dog, Charlie, he you know, deteriorated like all dogs do. He was 14. And I remember calling up a number of friends and asking this question, and nobody really engaged with me on it. I asked it, and they were like, yeah, so anyway, gotta go. Because it just didn't seem to be a thing. I do think that there is role definition that needs to be considered when it comes to animals. They are here for our good pleasure. When those roles are reversed, Then I think the relationship, if you will, can be over. And I ask that question of people: am I wrong in thinking that this dog is becoming so time consuming, so much the centerpiece of the house, is doing things that are making a mess in the house? And you know what I'm talking about. Going outside with the dog. His knees were getting shot to boot. And so in order for him to do his doggy business, I had to like hold his back legs. Otherwise he'd fall down. And I kept thinking, and I love dogs and I love my dog. Not as much as I like Freddie, but the point is I love Charlie. And I kept thinking to myself, well, this is just backwards. I'm not here to serve him. He's here to serve me. And if that usefulness has ended, I don't think that it's a sin to make that really painful decision to euthanize your pet. So I think for those two reasons, imago Dei versus animal and role definition, I think it can allow you to make that decision that probably won't ease your pain in doing so, because, man, it's awful to put a dog down, isn't it? And they just look at you. I just thinking about it. So thanks for bringing up a painful subject. Send more painful subject questions to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, you got anything else?
No.
About any other reasons why it's okay to do that?
No, I mean, I think that he answered it in his question as far as animals not being image bearers. I think that's the biggest.
Well, why? They're here for, okay, I can substantiate that. We kill and eat.
Right.
And we're ending the life of an animal prematurely. Why? To serve us. And that's why I go back to role definition. If they're not serving you, and look, we serve them, we take care of them, we feed them and we walk them and do all that grooming and all of that. But that's a part of taking care of an animal as they bring us pleasure. I think when that gets flipped, And you need to make that decision carefully. And everybody's might be just slightly different. But I just don't think you're sinning any more than you're sinning when you kill a cow to fry the skin with a little bit of meat and eat Snapplin blueberry muffins. Snapplin blueberry muffins.
You're not going to let that one go.
Why would I? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joanne. Todd, do you have any information, science or biblical, or both, on flat earth claims?
Yeah, I understand why people could read the Bible and say four corners. Well, okay, a circle doesn't have four corners. I think that's poetic language. We still use that term today. The four corner, and we pretty confident it's round. And so I understand that, but I do believe that we need to understand that the Bible does use common language like the sun rising. Well, we know it doesn't rise, but we still say it, don't we? We don't send nasty emails to the TV station because the weatherman said that the sun went down when we know that it doesn't go down. It's language that the Bible uses to describe what we all observe. Having said that, I do believe that there's also biblical evidence for a round earth. It describes it as the circle of the earth. Now, having said that, do I think that this is a massive theological issue? No, I don't even think it's a theological issue at all. And so if we're going to have a difference of opinion on this, because there are some people who think that there's some form of scientific evidence that indicates there could be that we are a flat earth, I personally think that there's a lot more scientific evidence that the earth is round. We see the pictures from outer space. It sure looks round. Now, I suppose somebody would say, if those are actual pictures from outer space, but I think that the scientific evidence demonstrates that it is a round planet that we are on. Please, let's not make this a big whoop-de-doo. Let's not, you don't want a church split over the shape of the earth. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from anonymous. Todd, is a man who divorced and remarried before coming to Christ disqualified to pastor a church?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The man may no doubt, frankly, committed sins before becoming a believer that would disqualify him besides a divorce, if it was a sinful divorce. I think you'd still want to examine if it's a biblical divorce, but nevertheless, what if the guy had, what if he just he'd committed adultery before he got saved, get saved, becomes a pastor? Well, that wouldn't disqualify him. It would if he were a pastor now, but not prior to. So no, I think a man could be divorced prior to becoming a believer and end up becoming a pastor. And I suspect, quite honestly, something like that, while it certainly doesn't justify it if it were a sinful divorce, probably would make him a better pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Stuart. Todd, is it a good idea to share the gospel immediately upon meeting someone, or should I wait for an appropriate time, or am I missing an opportunity?
Six of one, six of the other. You can, you can't. Kind of depends on your personality, your ability to make the conversation go that way, the dynamic. Are you in a short-term situation? Look, you can do it well or you can do it weird. Either way. Okay, so, excuse me, sir, what's your name? I'm talking to you, Jimmy. Hey,
oh,
sir,
oh.
We're doing a dramatization. We should make rehearsals. What's your name, sir?
My name's Charlie.
Charlie, nice to meet you. Do you believe in Jesus? Okay, kind of like, wait, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, now, how might I do it better? I've got short term. Hey, sir, how are you? What's your name?
Charlie,
nice to meet you, Charlie. Hey, this is going to potentially sound a little bit abrupt. And the only reason that I'm doing this is because we got short time, but there's something that I sure hope you know. Are you familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, I've got this booklet right here. Here, this is my gift to you. I sure hope you'll read it, Charlie. Take care. This is my stop. It can be done. Now, let's just say, my good old pal, Charlie, man, it sure has been good knowing you all of these years.
You too, Todd.
So do you want to become a Christian or not? Okay, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
The way that I did it. Okay, so point is, time really doesn't matter. I think more important is how you go about doing it. Use discernment, use good judgment, and do your best to make the most of every opportunity. And that could include a very brief opportunity. Just maybe rehearse it, practice it, and then you can proclaim His excellencies, whether you've got a 20-year relationship or a 20-second relationship. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.